We're going to keep going with our message series on stronger love, but before I do that, Stephanie, would you mind handing these out for me? Thank you. I told you last week that we're doing a collection for Jean Marie House, and so I thought it might be easier if we printed up their list of needs on paper for you. If you'll remember, Jean Marie House is a rehab facility for those. Last week I said battling addiction, and this week I'm saying overcoming addiction. Right? Right? Because we believe that's true. That's a possible thing. We don't follow the thinking of the world that says once an addict, always an addict. We don't follow that thinking. We don't do that. It's possible to overcome addiction through Jesus. And so we want to support a wonderful ministry called Jean Marie House that houses 35 women who are overcoming addiction. They have great services there, not just housing them, but putting them through group therapy. And I mean, it's amazing. And I've heard some success stories. Judy's son is a success story of their brother ministry. So we've worked with them before too. So, you know, it's a good thing. So I encourage you to do that. We'll do it today and then next week. And after next week, it's time to take it over there so they can get the help they need. And then also I wanted to let you know, we are having a water baptism 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. Yes, I'm excited about it. It'll be immediately following the service at Solon Community Center. They will give us exclusive use to their pool for an hour. Is it an hour? And so we're going to drive over there. It's really close, right after service, and do a water baptism for those who would like to get baptized in water. We do believe in you know, a young child getting baptized. We also believe in adults getting baptized. It's anyone who can make a conscious decision, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm following him the rest of my life. So if you want to get baptized, you need to come to the class, the 20-minute class following service next Sunday, okay? It'll be right after church. It'll be in the youth room, and I'll do a little 20-minute class, and then if you want to get baptized the following week, then we'll sign you up. Okay, any questions about that, see me after church today. So, stronger love. I really went back and forth in my mind this week on how the direction I felt like God wanted me to go on stronger love, because there's so many ways you can go, you know. And so, as I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord led me to the story, and so I'm calling my message title, Undeserved today. I'm going to talk about undeserved, and I think I'm going to talk about someone that most of us can relate to. I'll start by saying Isaac and Rebecca, you might know of them. Isaac was Abraham and Sarah's son of promise, and when he grew up and got married, he married a woman named Rebecca, and God had confirmed his Abrahamic covenant through Isaac. And he had told Isaac the same thing that he had told Isaac's father Abraham, I am with you and I will bless you. I will multiply your descendants and they will become a great nation. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse, right? So that's who we're talking about, Isaac and Rebecca. After they got married, they too struggled with infertility and were unable to have children for a long time. We don't know exactly how long. But Isaac cried out to the Lord, and God answered his prayer with twin boys, right? These twins, Esau and Jacob, fought with each other from inside the womb. That should have given a clue to Isaac and Rebecca there might be some trouble to come, right? If they're already fighting in utero, yeah, that's not good necessarily. And that continued throughout their adult life. They fought about everything. And part of the problem was they had a very dysfunctional family. One of the things I love about the Bible so much, really, it's one of my favorite things of the Bible, is that the greatest heroes have the biggest flaws. And I am so thankful for that, because if every family was functional and perfect in the Bible, I would feel like I can't see myself there. You know, I can't find myself there. They were pretty dysfunctional. Isaac had a favorite. You're not supposed to have a favorite when you have a child, more than one child. You're not supposed to have a favorite. But Isaac had a favorite, and his favorite was Esau, but Rebekah's favorite was Jacob. So you can imagine that not only continued the rivalry between the twin boys, but I'm sure it created some problems in the marriage. There's no way that it couldn't, right? But the word Jacob means deceiver, liar, trickster, huckster, whatever you want to call it. That's what it means. So with the help of his mom, think about this, with the help of his mom, Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright. Now, a birthright, we don't comprehend the significance of a birthright in our culture, but in Hebrew culture that many years ago, it was everything. If you look at the list of begats, most often it only lists the firstborn son, the firstborn son, because he got the birthright passed to him. Birthright meant basically the seal, the family seal, to take care of all business, to own the business after the father passed away. Like, it was a big deal. Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright. We're not going to go into the story. It's an interesting story. Some of you know it. Some of you could read it. Then Jacob deceived his father with the help of his mom into giving him the fatherly blessing. So he wasn't satisfied just to have the birthright, which he ended up with, but he also wanted the blessing of his father. So he tricked his dad by, you should read it. Both of those are very huge things. And because of that, Esau, the firstborn son, who should have had the birthright and the blessing, hated his brother. Do not try that at home. Please. He hated him so much that in Genesis 27:41, I don't think I gave this one to you, so don't worry about it. It says this: from that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing, and Esau began to scheme. I will soon be mourning my father's death, then I will kill my brother Jacob. Premeditated murder. He was scheming, and once he finished mourning, he was going to scheme how to kill his brother. So Rebecca got Jacob, her favorite, and said, "Hey, your brother's mad. He's mad enough that he wants to kill you, so you better get out of Dodge as fast as possible." And so she told him, "Until Esau can cool down and forget about what you've done." And Esau's scheming about how to kill his brother. So we learn from this that Jacob lives up to his name. He's a deceiver. That is putting it mildly. He is a trickster. He is a huckster. He is a conniver, right? The first point on stronger love, I fought with this one a little bit. God's love is stronger than sin. And the reason I fought with is because I felt like God said, call Jacob what he is, sinner. He's a sinner. He's lying, tricking, conniving. He's a sinner. And I know that's not a popular word right now. We don't like that word, do we? We like to talk about making mistakes. We like to talk about failures. It's okay. Flaws. That's just how I am. That's my genetic makeup. Right? But we don't like to talk about sin. But the problem with not talking about sin is we never get to talk about that God's love is stronger than sin. And so today I felt so strongly for my subpoints, not to say God spoke to Jacob, but point A, God spoke to the sinner. Now, this blows my mind. that God would speak to the one who has just cheated and stolen from his brother everything. Everything. But when Jacob was on the run, he was out alone with nothing but a walking stick, is what the Bible tells us later. And he's running away under the guise of going to find a wife. But that's only because Rebekah knew that that would go okay with Isaac, right? So he ran away, and when he fell asleep that night, he put his head on a stone all alone in the wilderness. I can't imagine how dark and you know, overwhelming it must have been to him to be running away from home because of his own sin, really. But in that place, Genesis 28:13 says this, "At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants.'" Now, most of us would think, unfair, foul, right? Why isn't God speaking to Esau and telling him that? He's the one who got robbed. He's the one who got stolen from. Like, why isn't God saying to Esau, "The land you are on is yours. I'm giving it to you just like I gave it to your father and your grandfather." Because God's love is stronger than sin. I don't know the ways of God. There are times, too many times, when I think that does not seem fair. That does not seem right. Justice is one of my core values, you know? So when I encounter injustice, I have a hard time with it. But in this case, God spoke to the sinner. He didn't stop there. God blessed the sinner. In verse 14, it says, "Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the east, to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants." God spoke to the sinner. God blessed the sinner. Some of you are like, "Well, how do we know Jacob didn't repent?" I'm coming to that. We're getting there. Hold on. Point C, God promised presence and protection to the sinner. Wow. Some of us are going to be set free by this message today. I just feel it. You have been doubting whether or not God could speak to you or show you things or bless you because you think, "I don't deserve it." That's why I called the message undeserved. Because God's love works that way. In this passage, we don't see God saying, "Okay, Jacob, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you're good enough, I will bless you. If you honor me, I will protect you." We don't see that. Now, there are some other verses that have that. But this one, God promised presence and protection to the sinner. What's more, "I am with you and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you." I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. To the sinner. "I will not leave you until I've given everything I've promised to you." God's love is stronger than sin. Stronger than mistakes, stronger than flaws, failures, genetic weaknesses. But it's also stronger than sin, outright disobedience. The word sin means missing the mark. How many have said they have missed the mark this week? I have. Now, here's Jacob's response. This is how we know he hasn't repented, by his response. It's pretty funny to me. Jacob says in 28, chapter 28, verses 16 through 22. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. I'm glad he could see that. You sinners can feel the presence of the Lord, by the way. We carry it, by the way. And I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. And you're thinking, he must have repented. He wouldn't be doing that. Hold on. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow. Ding, 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 ding. Pay attention to the words if and then. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. How kind. He's just had a vision of the most holy God, right? What? But don't throw a stone too fast, because I wonder how many of us have said, if God will do this, then he will be my God. If God will give me the outcome I want, then I will worship him. If God takes away this thorn in my flesh, then, I wasn't pointing to you, Shauna, you're not a thorn in my flesh. Not at all. Then I will praise him. You see, that's what that whole last song was about. I've still got a reason to praise. Even if I don't get the outcome I want, even if I don't get that thorn taken out of my life, no matter what, I've still got a reason to praise. But Jacob wasn't there yet. But I love that we see that he wasn't there yet. Because most of us who have been in the faith for any amount of time, we immediately want to put shame on someone who says something like that. Oh, foul, you're bad. You're a carnal Christian, right? That's what we say to people. Oh, no. Give people time to get where they need to be. I have family members in my life that I hold so dear to my heart. And sometimes they say and do things that I hurt inside over. I ache inside over. But I know the Lord has told me over and over and over again, be patient. I've got them. I've got them. They're on a path. Do you really believe what the Bible says, that when someone seeks, they will find me? They're seeking. They're just going down some wrong roads in the process of seeking, but they're going to find their way to me. Just be patient. And so let's be patient with Jacob. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God. At least he does that. That's pretty cool. And I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. Even in that place of partial belief, if you want to call it that, he knew the importance of worship and tithing. That's pretty interesting to me. Now we're going to fast forward 20 years later. You ever watch SpongeBob? 20 years later. 20 years. Do the kids still watch that? They do? Okay. Adamo. My kids loved it. They loved it. 20 years later, Patrick was their favorite, I think. Yeah. During that 20 years, Jacob had worked 14 years to earn two wives. The interesting, we could go into it, but we're not going to. The deceiver was deceived. And sometimes we do reap what we sow. And it's the mercy and the grace of God that we reap what we sow sometimes. So it's an interesting story. Read it. And then after that, he worked for another 6 years. But during that time, God had indeed been with him. God had indeed blessed him. He had become very wealthy, and he had a heart sickness to go home. He wanted to go home. In those days, there was no such thing as FaceTime. There was no such thing as text messaging. There was none of that. There was no Zoom. So he had not seen any of his family members in 20 years, right? We do see him during those 20 years praying to God and giving credit to God for his success. So something was happening on the inside for sure, right? So at some point, I think he had to have become a believer for him to give credit to God for his success and to pray so often. I believe he became a believer, as we think of the word believer. But he was terrified on the road back. Why? Why was he terrified? Because of Esau. Yes. Because he knew Esau wanted to kill him the last time he saw him. And he's like, I don't want to go back. So point two, God's love is stronger than fear. God's love is stronger than fear. Because on the way back, it's a long story. He sent everyone else ahead of him, and he was alone. And then he prayed this in Genesis 32, 9 through 12. O God of my grandfather Abraham. And God of my father Isaac. O Lord, you told me, return to your own land and to your relatives, and you promised me I will treat you kindly. I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. Don't you love that spirit is so different than the spirit sneaking and stealing a birthright and a blessing? I'm not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. O Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I am afraid that he is coming to attack me along with my wives and children. But you promise me, I will surely treat you kindly, and I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sands along the seashore, too many to count. God's love is stronger than sin. God's love is stronger than fear. It is. So Jacob cried out to God when he was terrified. I am feeling like I have another whole second half of my message, but we're going to postpone that part until next week. We're going to do part two for today's message next week, because I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do something in our hearts and in our lives. Megan, could you come back to the... Sorry, I sprung this on you. Complain to the Holy Spirit. I'm just kidding. I know you don't mind. I feel like there are people in this room right now who need to know that God's love is stronger than sin. God's love is stronger than any way you might have missed the mark this week, last month, over your whole life. Here's the thing, okay? I can spend a lot of time, and I do, preparing my heart for Sunday, and preparing my mind, and studying Scripture, and worshiping. But there are two things I have no control over. None. Zero control over. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is the first one. And the second one is what your response is. I have no control over that. So I can get up here and I can preach my heart out for hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. And if the Holy Spirit isn't here, it's nothing but a clanging cymbal. If the Holy Spirit isn't here, my words fall dead at my feet. The other component is your response. You see, the whole theme for 2021 for Oak River is yes. Because every time we have an opportunity and the Holy Spirit wants to move, we have a choice to say yes or nah. So I'm going to ask you right now, in whatever way you feel you need to do this, maybe you need to move to a seat all by yourself. Maybe you need to kneel. Maybe you need to lay down. Maybe you need to stand. I don't know. Whatever it means for you as an individual, say yes to the Holy Spirit right now. Yes to whatever you want to do. picture or a video in your mind that you feel like is from God, that it's not just for you, it might be for someone else, I want you to come up here and share it.
Told me to tell everybody and for everybody to repeat this. I have a divine protection over me. And believe it. I have a divine protection over me.
I have a divine protection over me.
And you truly need to believe that.
Yes.
Because He is your divine protection.
Yes.
Wherever you go, wherever you're at, He is your divine protection. And you need to know that He answers. In the time of need, He is there. He will protect you from everything that comes your way. You need to believe that with all your heart.
If you know that you have a divine protection over you, fear has no way to hold on to you. Anyone else?
I come from a family of 10 children, and some of the children were really obedient and some were not so obedient, but at the end of all things, me being the oldest, I see my mother who still lives. She loves all of us the same, and that is the word from the Lord, that we are not individuals before His presence. We are the body of Christ. We are His family. And so that's why we are encouraged to gather together before His presence, because some that are really good children, they kind of hold us as sinners, you know, as sinful, and take us to the presence of the Almighty, the Almighty God. And He accepts us, because His eldest Son, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came to the earth and died for our sins. And so we are totally accepted, loved by God. And as Jesus walks towards the presence of God, He takes His brothers and sisters to the presence of God, good and bad ones. We all sin, but we have the blood of the Lord Jesus cleansing us continually and daily, and we don't have to be perfect. We just hold each other's hands and walk towards the Lord. Amen.
God, I pray for a baptism of your love right now over every person in this place. Every child to feel complete and total love from you right now. Every teenager to feel your love being poured out over them and poured into them right now as they say the word yes. Yes. Every adult getting washed in your love. To a good place. You didn't feel anything today? Don't sweat it. Might hit you differently. When I was a little girl, my sister was the emotional one, and she would cry if a cat would get hurt. And I couldn't cry. I was like, it's a cat, it'll be all right. I'm really practical, you know. But I used to think because of that, that I didn't have as big a heart as my sister. That's not true. We just experience things differently. That's okay. I have deep love, and I've made up for the tears since then. If you don't feel it now, just keep saying yes. Just keep saying yes. When you're driving down the road, say yes, God. I say yes. I say yes to your stronger love. Every time you get frustrated with somebody, say, God, I say yes to your stronger love. Every time you feel afraid, say yes. I say yes to your love, God. However it hits you, it'll hit you. Maybe it'll be a good night's sleep for the first time in a long time. Maybe it'll be you're not cursing at someone when you're driving. I don't know. Just keep saying yes and see what happens. And if you want to hear part two of this message, because it's really good, come next week, okay? Come next week and hear part two. God, I thank you for everyone who came today, who intentionally took the time to come. And I pray your blessing over them. I pray your protection, your presence over them. God, I pray that they would keep saying yes over and over and over again. When they're in the shower, when they're doing laundry, when they're driving, when they're at work, they would just keep saying yes in their heart to you over and over and over again. And watch how your stronger love overcomes sin and overcomes fear. And I pray that you would pour out an extra measure of blessing for all those who tithe to Oak River and who believe in your principle enough to give you 10%. Who believe in your protection and your provision enough to bless you like Jacob did, even in his place of unbelief. He blessed you with 10%. So I pray a blessing over everyone who does that here at Oak River. And I pray that we would all have a week filled with the word yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great week.